Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, welcome to a special bonus episode of Superhero Speak. I'm your host Dave.
And John.
Yes, and Ben's not here, but we don't have a guest. What did you do to him? Oh, no.
I drank him under the table, that's what I did.
Actually, what we're doing in this episode, we went and saw an early premiere of the Power Rangers movie. And unfortunately, Ben had to watch his children and wasn't able to go. So John and I went, and we're going to...
Air quotes for that. That's all air quotes right there. He was taking care of his children. You can hear them, right?
So we're going to discuss the movie in fine detail. So you know what though, John, before we get to this movie, I was doing some research, you know, to get ready for this episode.
Oh my. Why are we changing the format now? We never did research before.
So here's an interesting factoid that I don't think a lot of people realize, okay?
Yeah.
So, Power Rangers. The United States was introduced to the Power Rangers with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers back in 1993 on television. However, did you know that it's based on a Japanese show called Super Sentai? S-E-N-T-A-I-E? Or T-A-I. Sorry. So, and if I mispronounce that, I'm sorry, I'm not Japanese.
Sentai, and actually I did because, like, I am the anime guy here, so... I do know certain things Japanese, and where do you think they got most of the footage?
I was going to say,
a lot of the footage is actually patched together from actually a lot of shows.
Right, but so that show has been running in Japan since 1975 and is still on the air today.
Which is why Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is still on, because it's still so cheap to make.
Yes, yes, I found that interesting. So, yeah, most of the... action scenes, the stuff with the Zords, the fights, when they're in their costumes, that's all footage mostly taken from that show. And then just when they're not in costume, that's the stuff they shoot for the American audiences.
Right. And speaking of patched together, let's get to the movie.
So I thought, I wanted to bring that up because I think we'll probably tap back into that information a little later in this conversation. So, so obviously, as always, boys and girls, whenever we do one of these things, there will be spoilers. So be warned up front.
Yeah, spoilers. There's a giant robot.
There isn't much really to spoil, because I will say everything that you would expect to be in a Power Rangers movie was in this movie, pretty much. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, sure.
So, of course, the movie is based on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the original series from 93. And so, of course, it's the same five kids from that series. Jason, Billy, Zach, Kimberly, and Trini, right?
And they're looking really old. I mean, they should have gotten new actors.
No, they got new actors. That's actually one of the first things I wanted to bring up, which I thought was interesting. So the kid playing Jason Scott is Darcy Montgomery.
Yeah.
And I believe he's an Australian actor, from my understanding.
Well, we do have to import actors, you know, these days, because... the Baldwins just aren't enough anymore, apparently. I don't know, something like that.
Yes, we're done with the Baldwins. So again, you know, he's 22, fairly young. But is it just me, but especially in this movie, did he remind you a little bit of Chris Pine?
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, like, look-wise, very much so. A little bit acting-wise, too, I think.
Actually, the first thing that came to me was he kind of reminded me of the original actor for the Red Ranger. His mannerisms and everything. I don't know, for some reason it just kind of felt like they found an actor who could play the same part.
Well, I wonder that too. I wonder if they asked the actors to watch the show and try to adopt some of the mannerisms of the, you know, the characters from the show.
Well, except for Billy, but
well, right, but we won't. Yes, so yeah. Well, we'll get to that actually. So I mean, I thought he did a decent job, right? And then we had Naomi Scott played Kimberly Hart, the Pink Ranger, and she was okay, you know. See, I think one of the things that people have to realize is that if anyone out there who was a fan of the original show, right, what they did with this movie, besides trying to ground it, I can't really say realism, but trying to make it a little more gritty and realistic.
They tried.
They took away some of the hokiness, but they also, if you remember correctly, in the original series, Jason was the football star of the school, and Kimberly was a gymnastics person, and like they were the popular kids, you know, and they had friends and stuff.
Right.
Where in this version of
they're the misfits of science, basically.
Right, they're the misfits. The kids like yes, Jason is a football guy in the beginning, but he ends up doing something that gets him in trouble right pretty much at the get go of the beginning of the movie. He ends up in a brace. He hurts his leg, so he's in a brace, and like he's not playing football anymore, and he's in detention, which is where he meets Billy, who was played by, I have the list right in front of me here.
Billy was R.J. Seiler.
Yes. Who's, of course, not the same Billy we had originally. Still super smart, but this time they put him on the spectrum, you know, so he's, you know, slightly autistic. And he's actually, and that's probably one of the first criticisms, right? He acts more autistic in the beginning of the movie.
And then, towards the end, he's basically sitting there. Yeah, after he got his coin, I caught that too. So they got the coins, and one of the very next scenes is him sitting at a table joking with a whole bunch of people, which an autistic person couldn't have done.
Right.
Unless the coins, like, cure autism,
which it seems like the coins almost cured them of everything that was wrong with them.
Yes, including broodiness.
Right, but like Billy's leg was healed. Not Billy. Jason's leg was healed right after he got the coin. He didn't need the brace anymore. But but that's an interesting point because so there's an argument that because autistic people see the world differently and their brains work differently, they focus a lot differently, and that's what attributes to their high performance and what seems like, you know, their extra ordinary intelligence. So,
but not always. I mean, it's.
I'm not saying always, but I'm saying like that is one of the associations with it. So you kind of wonder, like, should Billy have been as smart as he still was after being cured? You know, like
but they didn't say it was cured. I think I think you're giving the writing too much credit. I mean, seriously, the writing in this show was only slightly above what you'd find in one of the normal shows, only probably because A, they were trying to make it quote unquote dark, and B, because they had an hour and a half to fill instead of a half hour. But you know, seriously, I don't think that they were going for, hey, it cures autism, which in and of itself would probably not be a really great message to kids watching the movie.
Right.
It was more along the lines of, hey, the person in charge of continuity forgot to be there that day, you know, or the script was just, you know, the script was off. I talked about this with you in the car on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
The show really reminded me of the original Joss Whedon movie, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where it was written by a schizophrenic And we know, and as you know, we discussed, Joss Whedon had lost some control over the movie during the making of it, I guess. You know more about that than I think. But this movie felt like one scene was written to be gritty and dark and realistic, and the next thing you know, they're playing the theme song and the Zords are moving in the same way as they do in the show, even though they're not animatronic anymore, they're actually CG. So it was kind of like, well, you know.
I think, okay, so it's interesting. Okay, you're bringing up some interesting points. I think I thought about this too, and I think there's a what you can liken this to is the 1966 Batman television series and the 89 Batman movie.
If you took them, spliced them together. Right.
Well, I'm saying like the show was ultra hokey and such a product A of its time, and you know, oh, all the kids have to be extreme because all the kids were extreme in the 90s, and everything was bright colors and happy and whatnot, and like over the top puns and obvious jokes, and it's like, okay, we're going to strip away all of that and take it seriously, you know, because there isn't a lot of...
Only sometimes.
The only person I think the only person I think didn't take it as seriously as the kids did is Elizabeth Banks, who plays Rita Repulsa, because she was chewing some scenery.
Oh, she ate half the set. There is no doubt. Although Alpha, the guy playing Alpha, he also managed to chow down on a few of the sets himself.
That was Bill Hader. Which was, yeah.
Bill Hader, probably Bill Hatter, who, you know, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. This is superhero speak. We mispronounce everybody's name. It could be like, you know, what? Fred Thompson, and we get it wrong, but no, you're right. They Elizabeth Banks, especially, they just, you know, they walked in. It's like, this is the Power Rangers movie. There is no such thing as bad acting. I'm just gonna let it all go. Now, right. Now, this is not to say that it was bad. It actually worked fairly well. You know, I mean, Rita's personality in the original show, being such as it is, was over the top and, you know, over gesticulating and screaming all the time. And they managed to tone that down enough to make it interesting, you know, and a little bit more in line with the rest of how they had seen this entire movie go. So it was good. It was good, but it was still Elizabeth Banks just letting it go and saying, I'm going to do everything my acting coaches told me never to do.
Yes. In fact, we were actually met up with some people afterwards, and we were talking outside of in the lobby, and they said they felt Elizabeth Banks was in a different movie than everyone else. Right. I guess, you know, initial thoughts. Like, I went in expecting a pile of feces, and I was
cordially invited to.
Yes.
Thank you, United Artists.
and Lionsgate. But was pleasantly surprised by the movie. I think that's the best way to put it. Like, if anyone goes in here expecting Citizen Kane, you're not going to get it. But if you go in expecting a popcorn flick with some action and some special effects and an over-the-top villain and the story of five kids learning to work together and become a team to save the world and get past their differences and learn to trust each other, because that's really what the heart of the story is, then you'll enjoy yourself, I think.
And when you say popcorn movie, you mean the extra... extra large popcorn thing, the big box that you need like two seats for, and probably, you know, the person's popcorn next to you. but still, you know, it's, I mean, if you're a fan of the Power Rangers, or you've got nothing to do on a weekend, or you know, you need something to take the kids to, definitely. This will hold their interest. It's got enough teenage angst to hold the attention of a modern day toddler or mid-teen or tween. Enough of the kids are quote unquote screwed up enough for the modern tween to be able to put them in their shoes and say, hey, I could be a superhero too, even though I'm in detention every Saturday. So,
right.
You know, it's good enough for that. It really is. It's got just a dash, just a soupçon of Bryan Cranston in it, which is just enough to, you know, give the adult audience something to chew on themselves.
So that I found interesting. So I'm glad you brought him up. Because I thought he did a good job for what he was given to do.
Basically we only saw his face once.
Right. He plays, Zordon, right? Who everyone remembers from the TV show. He's that holographic image in the cave that's like their mentor and helps them give them their powers and train them and everything.
Spoilers.
Right.
Zordon starts out as a Red Ranger whose team got wiped out.
Right. See, that's the whole thing, is like they gave an origin, well, a somewhat origin to Zordon, and explains how everything got to the point where it was when the Rangers, the kids show up and become the Rangers.
And just to inject, like you said before, you were pleasantly surprised by some of this. This is one of those points where you're sitting there going, it's a Power Rangers. Wait a minute. The writer gave a credible backstory and a tragic backstory to Zordon, and it works? What the hell? So, right. There are little bumps in the road like this where you're watching the movie and then you're like, hey, that was actually pretty cool.
Right. So what we find out at the beginning of the movie is Zordon is – they're an alien race and they're the Rangers and they're on Earth and they're protecting the Earth 65 million years ago in the time of the dinosaurs. And they're fighting Rita, who's trying to steal – what was the crystals called?
The MacGuffin crystal.
Basically, there's these crystals that are inside the Earth that allow the Earth to have life. And every planet that has life has these crystals on them. And Rita is trying to steal these crystals. Plot twist, something that was never done in the show, Rita's actually a Ranger who goes rogue.
Oh, and not just any Ranger, the Green Ranger.
Right.
From Zordon's original team.
So... to stop her.
Spoilers, by the way. just in case you haven't gotten the hint yet.
We gave the warning at the beginning. And to stop her, they called down an asteroid on the Earth to kill her, which wipes out the dinosaurs. So I thought that was a cool little touch. Like, the power...
And then we're back to regular old kid writing. You know? But go ahead.
But again, it also explains that the ship was trapped under, you know, the Earth since the time of the dinosaurs, and that is why the Zords, they take the form of the most powerful creatures on the planet, and they took, at the time, was the dinosaurs. It makes more sense than, oh, dinosaurs are in. So let's make mechanical dinosaurs, which I'm pretty sure is what they thought when they made the original series.
Yeah. Now, probably shouldn't give too much of the plot away because people want to see it too.
That's why we said spoilers. If they, you know, want to see the movie and then listen to our opinion.
But again, there are certain points where you figure that the writer actually like woke up, had taken some real writing courses online or on YouTube or something, and actually interjected some interesting plot points that made everything tie together rather nicely. There were a few other points that were basically worthy of being nitpicked, but not worthy of you not seeing the movie. So I shan't nitpick too much.
No. So that's another point I wanted to bring up. And within my research, all of the early reviews that are in, not counting this one yet, on Rotten Tomatoes, they're split, right? So they're kind of like at 50%. There's where half of the critics like the movie and half the critics don't like the movie.
So those that had a childhood and those that didn't, right?
Right, and like some of the reviews that I would, you know, I look at the bad ones to kind of see why they don't like it, and you know, people were complaining that it was hokey, and it's like, well, what do you expect going into a movie that is geared towards, you know, A, people who grew up who were fans of that show as a kid and are still, you know, fans of it today, and kids who are currently watching the show that's still on, that's who their target audience is.
Yeah.
You know, like if you didn't grow up watching it and you just think the whole thing's hokey, you have a bias going in. So it's like, okay, well, just go in and enjoy it, you know?
But like, what they should have done is they should have, those reviewers should have gone to see or rented the first Power Rangers movie, then went to this
exactly.
one, and they would have thought this one was high Shakespeare compared to that.
Exactly. Oh my God, yes. I actually had a friend who talked me into going to see it in the theater.
And, by the way, just as an aside, all of the big YouTubers are doing specials for the Power Rangers movie coming out. So there's a Everything Wrong With for the original Power Rangers movie. I think the Nostalgia Critic was going to do it. There's if you look on YouTube, there's a lot of reviews or things that have to do with the original Power Rangers. So check those out.
Yes, definitely. So yeah, I mean, it's, and I mean, it has a lot of the same formulas that the show had. You know, I agree. Like they fight the putties, you know, hand to hand combat. Then they have to up their game and jump in the Zords and fight. And Rita makes her monster, who happens to be Goldar, grow really big.
Yeah, that was interesting. Goldar was originally just one of her henchmen, not the giant thing.
Right, right. You know, I think, because, like, one of the things that, like, strikes me as kind of funny and a little odd, walking out of it, like, they didn't change the name of anything to try to make it more serious, you know? Because, like, when you think about it, Rita Repulsa is a stupid name.
It's an honorable name that's been passed down through generations of different species from 65 million years ago. I learned that on Ancestry.com.
Oh, okay. I mean, I can look past Alpha 5 and Zordon, and of course the kids all have fairly normal names and whatnot, but Rita Repulsar and Goldar, I mean, nothing's wrong with Goldar itself, except that he's made of gold. So it's a little on the nose.
Well, that must have been somebody, excuse me, but so that must have been somebody sitting on the can going, all right, I got to write this movie. I need a big monster. What am I going to do? Goldar. She likes gold. Oh, Goldar. Ha ha. I got it.
Yeah. I mean, that was an interesting take on it too, that they kind of made it seem like she got her powers from gold. So that's how she was able to create Goldar.
And it healed her and all that.
Yes. So,
which is a staple of Power Rangers. No, it wasn't. Wait a minute. I have no idea where that power came from. That's not even in the original canon for all I know.
And so, yes, the monster grows and then they end up in the Megazord. They fight and they win.
Yes. But the Megazord was a surprise. Everybody was surprised. Nobody seemed to have known that thing existed, that could happen.
Well, hold on. I think everyone who'd seen the show knew.
No. The show, yes. We, the people, were expecting it, especially since they spoiled the damn thing in all the previews. But on the show, they, you know, I think I'm trying to remember back from when I used to watch the original show, and the Megazord was always something that, you know, was an option,
right?
Even from the beginning, where they said, here's your Zords. Oh, by the way, merge them. I don't even think they told them they could merge. They just did it, you know? It's like they were channeling the Lion Force or something. But in this case, it was, you know, they stand up in the Megazord, and everybody's like, how? What? Where? So that was a minor interesting plot point,
yes.
I thought.
Yeah. Oh, and it was interesting too, like something they never really did on the show. At least not that I can recall. And, you know, my son watches it now. They don't do it on the newer series. Where like it was like, Voltron, where one kid is controlling the one leg, the other kid's controlling the other leg, one kid's controlling the arm, you know, like.
That was hysterical. Okay, let's get away. Ah, plop. I thought you were supposed to take a step first. Sorry, we both wanted to take a step first. Usually they don't go over the fact that, I mean, in a movie like this, where they had 11 days to become ninja masters and learn how to fight.
Yes, that part was a little unbelievable, but go ahead.
Although better than some other movies. I mean, you know, they usually the montages last for like, you know, 5 minutes and it represents, you know, 2 hours or something. And hey, here's your degree. You are now a kung fu master. But the way they didn't have any practice with running this thing as a Megazord, so of course the first thing that they do is they trip over their own feet, which I thought was a funny touch.
But they quickly figure it out, though, you know, because they have to.
Yeah. So I think we spoiled enough of this movie. I know that the other reviewers on YouTube aren't going to go as over as much as we are.
No, we'll one last thing I want people to keep in mind too that I saw in my research today.
Keep saying this word research. I do not think that means what you think.
One thing that I learned, I don't know if you've heard this or not, they actually have 6 movies planned in total.
Oh my God, do they fight Godzilla next?
No, but I think we can all take a guess on what the second movie is going to be.
Bracket thing where they you know, Godzilla versus King Kong.
Okay, and hold on.
And then the Megazord versus Voltron, and whoever wins those two fights each other.
Hold on. There's a mid-credit scene that definitely is a setup for the next movie.
Well, if they're lucky. I mean, you know, Gem and the Holograms had a end-credit scene setting up the Misfits, and we all know how Gem and the Holograms 2 worked out, right?
Okay, this brings me back to my original point. Some of the things I've read online, they're estimating that it's going to make 40 to 60 million, this weekend, its opening weekend. Now, remember, we're recording this Thursday night, so we don't know any numbers yet. The movie isn't out officially yet. I'm not saying this is going to be a blockbuster hit, you know, that's going to take everyone by surprise, but I think it's going to, you know, make a profit because, again, they're underestimating, like my son, who's 14 years old, really wanted to go to this because he loves the Power Rangers, and that's where they're going to make their money. There are still a lot of kids out there who watch the Power Rangers or have watched the Power Rangers in the last 10 years on TV, and there are people who now have kids who were, you know, old enough, you know, the right age when it first came out, that are going to want to take their kids to this movie. So I'm not saying it's going to be super blockbuster, but I don't think it's going to fail. And a lot of people are kind of saying that, you know, it's like, oh, it's be lucky if it makes its money back.
Well, it's got nostalgia going for it, definitely, which usually gives them a nice pool to pull from. And then, yeah, you know, it's got some teenage angst. The writing isn't horrible. And it's got some giant monsters fighting. So yeah, it will probably make up its budget and then some, and we'll probably get number 2 more than likely.
In a world where they're coming out with a 5th Transformers movie and a 8th Fast and Furious movie, there's plenty of money for the Power Rangers, at least the first one, to do decent.
Yep. And this is to say, I guess we'll go over with the capes. I have to say the actors were pretty good. The writing was such that it didn't give them all enough time to do what they could have done. Mm-hmm. And the writing itself for some of the, you know, for the plot points and such, it was okay. It was okay. Yeah, it was just like I said, get the extra large popcorn, you know. Maybe that you can go with this movie. You can go with the extra large Coke, so that you know halfway through the movie you need to go out and you know go to the bathroom, come back because you won't miss much. Preferably do it during like Rita Repulsa's scenes, so that you know you don't get an aneurysm. But yeah, it was okay. You know, you got kids, take them to it. Right. It'll be a good way to kill an hour and a half.
So what's your rating? 1 out of 10 capes.
Well, none of the Power Rangers ever wore capes for that I remember.
Okay.
Although there's been like 40 different teams, and they're like every actor in the world right now has had a minor part in the Power Rangers at one point or another. But I'll give it 6.
Okay, I think that's
which is a go see it number of capes.
All right. Again, I walked in expecting it to be really bad and was pleasantly surprised by it. My son, who I think is the target audience, enjoyed the movie. He only had a couple little issues with it. He called. He knew, like, before we went to the movie, he's like, I think this will happen and this will happen. And he was right. So, again, this movie definitely was made. He's the audience. And I was excited because he was excited, you know. And I think that's a big thing, you know. So, like I said, don't go in expecting Shakespeare. Go in expecting a good ride and enjoy it. I agree with you, John, about the acting. And the writing could have been better. I think there's probably a lot on the cutting room floor. But you keep saying an hour and a half. The movie is actually 2 hours and 4 minutes. So,
is it?
Yeah, it's 124 minutes.
So there you go, you know.
So
There actually was no point in the movie where you were sitting there waiting for the end, which is okay.
Right, exactly. So I just go and enjoy the movie. Don't expect Citizen Kane. Expect a 2-hour episode of the 93 Power Rangers show, but it'll take it a little more seriously.
Don't expect kaiju fights either, because it's it's not up to par with what was the name of that movie? Why can't I remember the name of that movie right now? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay. But it's not up to that stature, but the fights are good, you know.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give it 7 capes. I think it's gonna do I think it's gonna do okay. You know. It's not the best, but it's a pleasant surprise. It should be a fun little movie to go take your kids to.
Yeah. Oh, and just another note. The guy who played Jason, that first name.
Darcy.
Is it Darcy? D-A-C-R-E?
You're right. Maybe it's Decree?
Decree? Decree Montgomery.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go with Decree because Mixleplick is not going to work and Mixless Pitlick doesn't work either. Okay, so Decree, hopefully we're pronouncing that right, Montgomery, and Naomi Scott. As you're watching this movie, you get the feeling, and if you're watching closely, these kids have some acting chops. I think you're going to see them in something later on.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree.
You didn't get much time with the rest of them to get enough of a hint of what they could do, but there were a couple of scenes where they cut to these guys with where the facial expressions and how they emoted their lines. They're pretty good. They'll probably do pretty well. Hopefully we'll see them in more stuff. And hopefully we get to see the rest of the actors where they can actually do more than, you know, just hi-ya and go get them and go team.
Yes, definitely. Cool. So before we wrap it up real quick, I want to remind our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of Superhero Speak and you don't already subscribe, please go to iTunes and subscribe. If you're feeling generous, give us a 5-star rating and review. Or it doesn't have to be 5. It could be 4 stars. And also don't forget if you can subscribe to us on Stitcher and, Google Play and wherever podcasts are available. Also, I wanted to tell people that keep an eye out. I mentioned this a couple episodes ago. I wanted to mention again, Podcast Mafia. Sometimes you'll see in our tweets on Twitter, hashtag Podcast Mafia. It's Podcast Nerd Podcast Mafia. That's a new network. It's coming soon. There's a lot of great podcasts in there. So anyone you see with that hashtag, check out their podcasts as well. A lot of great nerdy podcasts in there. So yeah. So again, thanks for listening. And as always, boys and girls, don't let your Power Ranger helmet get caught in the door. Have a good week.